Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a moving party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm so excited once again to have on the line Wisconsin State Attorney General, Mr. Josh Call. How are you doing, sir? Thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to spend with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me back in the program, Earl.
Let's just have at it. Your thoughts about what is earth-shattering news that is changing the dynamic of people's lives. What was your thought? I mean, you knew, everybody knew it was coming, but what is your thought after this took place, the overturning of Roe versus Wade?
Well, to the point you were just making, this is one of those situations where it's kind of shocking but not surprising. You know, we were pretty confident this was coming, but to actually have it happen is really remarkable. And the bottom line is that women in Wisconsin are now less free, less equal, and less safe than they were before Friday morning of last week. And that's just not acceptable. And I'm going to fight, and I know the governor's going to fight, to do what we can to minimize the harm from this decision and to work to restore reproductive freedom for women in Wisconsin.
You know, what do you say, those on the right who constantly talk about freedoms and having the right and the government not interfering in their lives, and you'll constantly hear them equate that to what's in the Constitution? How far on the other side of right are they?
Well, those comments ring pretty hollow right now, I would say. You know, this is putting politicians in charge of reproductive health care decisions that women make day in and day out around the state and around the country. You know, and just to give you one example of how this is already playing out, our office has started to hear from questions from sexual assault nurse examiners, the nurses who conduct forensic examinations for sexual assault victims. And they're asking us questions like, what about emergency contraception? Is there any exception under this old ban for cases of rape and incest? Those are the kinds of awful questions that that sexual assault victims are confronting and are going to have to be confronting because of this new situation we're in. And to me, that is just not at all consistent with the concept we have of a free society, which is what this country is all about. And, you know, it's because of conservative politicians and the justices they've appointed that we now have this huge infringement on people's liberty.
You know, Attorney General Call, I think a lot of this is, I've read a lot of different excerpts from people who say, well, you know, people who have been raped and wind up pregnant, that's really a very small percentage of people that we're talking about. And I think that really people don't have any idea of just how large a number that really is, because it's not really publicized. But many people who may not give it thought, but the rapes that go on in our society, the sheer numbers of them, we don't ever get to hear it. So this is a real issue, even though they want to minimize it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have worked throughout my administration to strengthen Wisconsin's response to sexual assault. We had thousands of untested sexual assault kits that were identified a number of years ago. And this is one of the most traumatic events, and for most people, the most traumatic event they will ever go through. And then to pile on top of that, the possibility of being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy to term is just awful, and it just compounds the trauma that people are facing. And, you know, and that's one of the many problems with this law. But, you know, there also are serious consequences for women's health that result from this. You know, there are people who have ectopic pregnancies that could put their lives in danger. There are people who become pregnant who have cancer, who to have chemotherapy performed can't do that if they're pregnant in certain stages of pregnancy. And, you know, this is going to impact women's freedom to decide what's best for them and their families in cases all throughout the state. And it's just a huge step in the wrong direction with respect to freedom, equality, and the health of women in Wisconsin.
So what do you say to those on the other side of this who say, what are you guys talking about? We've turned this over to states. It's not that we have taken away the rights of women. The states will determine what happens there.
Well, first, this is a fundamental right that I think is protected by our Constitution, and justices appointed by both Democrats and Republicans have thought that for decades. So this is really a radical reinterpretation of the U.S. Constitution. But on top of that, in Wisconsin, this hasn't really been sent back to the states. It's been sent back to the 19th century. And what I mean when I say that is, you know, the legislature hasn't come into session to pass a new law since the Dobbs decision came down. Instead, the argument is that this ban from the mid-1800s, it all of a sudden goes back into effect. It contains no exceptions for rape or incest or to protect the health of the mother. It contains only very limited exceptions. And that's a law that was passed before women had the right to vote. It was passed before the Civil War. There's not anybody alive today who was around when this law was passed. And so, you know, what we are arguing in this suit that the governor and I have filed is that that law doesn't spring back into effect, that there were laws passed later on that have impliedly repealed that old law. And if the legislature thinks that there should be a broad ban like this, they should come into session and vote on it. But I'm confident they're not going to do that.
So why would they not come in and do it? The chances of them succeeding and winning this lawsuit, and I'm far be it from me to try to interpret the law and how it is dealt with, would say that almost any judge is going to say, hey, why are we dealing with the law from the 1840s? We can't support that. I mean, what are the chances and the likelihood that a judge is going to side with going back to something from the 1800s?
You know, it's always hard to predict how cases are going to come out in court. I feel good about the arguments we've made about the old law being repealed by implication, and we're really in uncharted waters right now, because having a situation where a law has been unenforceable for 50 years all of a sudden potentially spring back to life isn't something we've dealt with. Having rights taken away from Americans is really not normal, and how that's going to play out in the courts, you know, remains to be seen. The reason the legislators, I think, don't want to come in and take this up is because they know that this is not supported by Wisconsinites. This is toxic for them politically, and you know, they're going to try to hide behind this 19th century ban. And so that's why when people say this is going back to the states, it rings so hollow, because legislators don't actually want to stand behind this kind of ban. They're just hoping that the old ban goes into effect so that we're bound by a law that was passed in the mid-1800s.
So if you are just joining us, on the line is State Attorney General Josh Call. Attorney General Call, states and attorney generals across the nation are organizing and looking to find a way in suing. Does it matter who determines what court it goes before, what judge it goes before? Does that really matter? Because we know there are some judges that are certainly slanted to the right, some are slanted to the left. Does that really matter? And who determines where it goes?
Yeah, it certainly can. You know, I mean, one of the reasons we are where we are today is because there has been a systematic effort from some conservative groups to put justices on the Supreme Court who they were very confident would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. And we are now living with the effects of that. And that was an effort that stretched over decades, really. And so who judges are, who justices are, absolutely matters. That doesn't mean, though, that there aren't basic principles and that the rule of law doesn't still have effect. And so we're arguing that if you apply normal statutory principles in Wisconsin to the statutes that we have, that old law shouldn't come into effect. And how judges will rule on that remains to be seen. What I can say is that that these cases are going to play out primarily in state courts, because the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that there's no constitutional protection for access to safe and legal abortion. So there may be challenges on other issues in the federal courts, but on that core issue, that's going to be decided state by state right now in the state courts, and then potentially in state legislatures
so,
as well.
So what I'm saying is, I was watching Donald Trump when he was president, and Republicans constantly talking about the fact that district courts were all of these different Republican justices that they put in those positions, even at the state level sometimes, though, who determines what courts judges they go before? This is going to go before.
It depends on where the suit is filed. So the case that Governor Evers and I filed just a couple days ago challenging the enforceability of this old ban, we filed that case in Dane County Circuit Court. So that will be decided in the first instance by a judge in Dane County. In all likelihood, in fact, almost certainly, it's going to get appealed. So it could go to one of the courts of appeals. But, you know, given the significance of the issue, it's certainly my expectation that this is going to end up before our state Supreme Court, and they will ultimately make a decision about whether this old ban is going into effect or not.
So help us understand, those of us who are ordinary citizens, we know that none of these things are going to happen overnight. This is going to be a Pier 6 brawl that is going to take, I don't know, could it take years to be decided on a state level?
So the case that we filed a couple days ago, it's my hope that we're going to see that play out relatively quickly. And now that's by court case standards, and that's it relatively quickly by court case standards is not relatively quickly by normal standards.
Right.
But it's my hope that we'll be able to get a decision from the circuit court in Dane County within a matter of months, because the issues that we're raising here, you know, some cases there's a lot of disputes about the facts and who did what when. That's not this kind of case. This is really about what the law is, and that usually makes the cases go a bit faster. And so it's my hope that we'll get a decision from the circuit court within months, but then, you know, there's the appeals process that plays out. And, you know, this may very well not be the only challenge to the statute. There may be others as well. And so, you know, we're likely going to have a fair amount of litigation ahead of us. In the meantime, though, if the legislature can address this very quickly, they can come into session and repeal this 19th century ban. And I'm confident that I know for sure that the governor would sign that. So if Republicans in the legislature step up and come into session, we can address this problem quickly. But so far, they haven't been willing to do that.
So in the interim, you and the John Chisholm, the district attorney of the city, and I don't know if other DAs across the state have stated that you are not going to enforce that law from the 1800s. And so let's talk a little bit about that.